From Interfaith Alliance, this is State of Belief Radio. I'm Interfaith Alliance President Emeritus Rabbi Jack Moline in Washington, filling in this week for your host, Reverend Welton Gaddy.
The very reason that Roe was overturned on Friday was because in 2016, evangelical Christians joined together with conservative Catholics and they elected a president who kept his promise to appoint three conservative pro-life justices to the Supreme Court. Thank God for President Donald J. Trump.
In 2016, 80% of white evangelicals voted for Donald Trump. It was a cornerstone of his presidential win. And although he lost his bid for re-election, white evangelical support was actually up by 1% in 2020. And this bloc has been incredibly energized by the ongoing culture war wins they're seeing, even as they leverage the grievance mentality perfected in the last couple of decades. With the midterm elections fast approaching and the next presidential campaign due to start any day now, author and editor Brian Kaler has co-written a powerful article headlined The 2024 Evangelical Primary, and we'll get his insights later in the hour.
No one should have to flee his home because of race, religion, sexual orientation, or conflict. Yet, every day, people are fleeing persecution from their country.
Mistrust, cynicism, and division seem epidemic in our culture right now, so it's refreshing to see America through the hopeful eyes of a refugee who fled persecution and violence to make a new start here. Adafe Oporo is a gay Christian from Nigeria who has built a thriving consulting firm while dedicating much of his time to advocating for other refugees, to creating art, and to writing. In fact, Adafe has just published a book entitled Asylum, A Memoir and Manifesto. And he'll be with us to share part of his story.
America was founded based on Christianity. Our DNA is Christian. Our roots are Christian. We aren't Muslim. We aren't atheist. America's the greatest country that's ever existed.
Interfaith Alliance is present in Washington, D.C. as an effective policy, advocacy, and education nonprofit. But especially at a time when attacks on true religious freedom are proliferating at the state and even local levels in this country, Interfaith Alliance affiliates are positioned to be the first line of defense. Fortunately, we're seeing new affiliates organizing themselves, and among those is the nascent Interfaith Alliance of North Dakota. On this week's show, you'll meet the driving force behind that effort, Ross Keyes.
I'm Ray Kirstein at the intersection of religion, government, and things that can backfire. RNS reports that two Catholic nuns in Kansas are challenging their bishop's public support of a drastic anti-abortion proposal. Speaking out against a planned amendment to the state constitution, they have distributed a letter criticizing the amendment as imposing religious beliefs on all Kansans. In their letter opposing the measure, which is up for a vote on Tuesday, Sister Angela Fitzpatrick, a founding member of the Catholic Social Justice Network lobby, and Sister Michelle Morick, liaison to fellow nuns for the Global Sisters Report, write that, quote, Jesus trusted women, we do too, end quote. With the slogan, Stand Against the Godless Left, actual member of the actual U.S. Congress from the actual state of Georgia, Marjorie Taylor Greene, is now marketing T-shirts emblazoned with a cross and the words, Proud Christian Nationalist. Meanwhile, a judge this week denied a grassroots effort to declare Greene ineligible to serve based on a U.S. Constitution provision barring insurrectionists from office. Wonder what the 14th Amendment is for, if not the case of an outspoken promoter and apologist for the January 6th insurrection. And do you remember the Michigan State Senator who was targeted by a colleague in a vicious fundraising email? Well, now the numbers are in on the obscene smear of Mallory McMorrow, calling her a sexual groomer of kindergartners, among other things. And while her fellow state senator, Republican Lana Tice, did receive financial reward for the attack, $235 to be precise, McMorrow's impassioned viral video response drew in excess of $1 million in financial support.
Our program airs every weekend on radio stations nationwide and is available as a podcast on iTunes and other leading podcast platforms. I urge you to subscribe to it today. State of Belief Radio is made possible in great part by the generous support of our listeners. If you've made a donation this week, please let me say a very sincere thank you. If you haven't pitched in yet, information on how you can help keep this show on the air is available at stateofbelief.com. That's stateofbelief.com. And now to our first guest. The Word and Way Public Witness article is headlined "The 2024 Evangelical Primary," a headline that only scratches the surface of what's happening right now in places where religion and politics are relentlessly mixing together. The piece is co-authored by Beau Underwood and Word and Way editor-in-chief Brian Kaler. With some trepidation, I'm thankful to welcome Dr. Kaler back to State of Belief Radio today. Brian, thanks for being with us.
It's great to be back on the program.
So listen, not surprisingly, Mike Pence is giving pre-campaign speeches at houses of worship. What are you hearing him say?
Yeah, former Vice President Mike Pence is clearly running for president. That was the unstated message when he preached recently on our Wednesday night service at a church in South Carolina. And when an Indiana resident shows up in one of the early voting states, you know what's really at play. And he was particularly talking about the Dobbs decision and framing the Trump-Pence administration as a pro-life administration, is the way Pence was describing it, and celebrating this moment and rolling back Roe v. Wade. And so that, I think, gives us a little bit of a signal as to what he thinks is his lane in the presidential primaries, is that he wants to be the, quote, pro-life, anti-abortion candidate and run on the coattails of the Supreme Court decision.
So this white evangelical voting bloc is valuable real estate for anybody considering a run for president. Who else is courting that vote at this stage of the game?
Yeah, you know, and I hate talking about the 2024 presidential campaign already, although it is my fault I wrote about it. And that's why you asked to have this conversation, because it seems like it should be too early. But if we're paying attention, the candidates are already out there. I mean, obviously, the former president is also courting and toying with the idea of running again. And he was among several candidates that showed up recently at the Faith and Freedom Coalition's conference. This is the group run by Ralph Reed. It's been a really important place for candidates in the past who have stopped by. And there were a number of candidates this year besides former President Donald Trump. You had Rick Scott from Florida, former South Carolina Governor Nikki Haley, Marco Rubio and Ted Cruz, senators who ran in 2016 and are thinking about it again, Mike Pompeo. So these are some of the names that are clearly, Tim Scott, these are some of the names that were at that conference. So it was a big gathering of potential Republican candidates. And some of them are also running in other ways as well. Mike Pompeo, I think, is one that seems to stick out really obviously after the Kennedy v. Bremerton Supreme Court decision, the really problematic ruling about school prayer. His PAC put out an ad. And it's weird. You know, what's this guy who's not on the ballot anywhere this year? He's not in office. And he's running an ad, a very, you know, slick made television ad. It's digital video ad in Iowa and South Carolina. Mike Pompeo praising the Supreme Court decision about prayer, government prayer in public schools. That's a clear sign that Pompeo is planning to run for president. So these are some of the characters that are already reaching out to white evangelical voters in praying for electoral salvation, if you will, in 2024.
Yeah, you've mentioned two of these court cases that came out recently that have been hot topics. What language is emerging among those wannabes that give us the idea of what to expect in upcoming campaigns? I'll even let you talk about 2022, not just 2024. I assume we're going to go even beyond that awful Texas GOP platform that caused such concern a couple of months ago.
Yeah. So obviously, the one of the key phrases that we're going to hear a lot because of the Supreme Court rulings is, you know, religious liberty. And you and I both know that when they mean religious liberty, they actually mean Christian nationalism. They're not talking about true religious liberty for all, but they're talking about their, what they think is their right to establish their religion. Right? They're really turning the two clauses of the First Amendment, religion clauses, on top of each other. And so that's a phrase that we're already seeing. Pence was using it in the church in South Carolina. Pompeo's using it in the ad that he was running. And then, of course, this rhetoric about life because of the Dobbs decision on abortion rights, that these are key phrases that they're going to be fighting over each other to decide who's the most, quote, pro-religious liberty, who's the, quote, most pro-life candidate. And unfortunately, in neither case do they actually live up to the rhetoric. But these are the buzzwords that we're already seeing.
Have you heard evangelical voices overtly dismiss the attack on the Capitol in service of a political religious right agenda going forward?
Yeah, unfortunately, this is something that is happening. I mean, you know, probably the best example is the Reawaken America tour, which, you know, Michael Flynn, Roger Stone, and then, you know, the Trump sons have been speaking at these. A number of Christian nationalist preachers have been at these events, and they're very much celebrating January 6th, bringing people to speak who have been arrested for their participation in their activities at the Capitol that day, arguing that these are the patriots and that this was, you know, still arguing this was a fraudulent election and so on and so on. So there is very much this rhetoric there that what happened on January 6th was actually a good thing. And the only thing that was a problem was that it didn't succeed, that, you know, Mike Pence didn't have the courage to do what was right. You know, and so there is this baptism, the sanctification of January 6th. And, you know, speaking of someone who might run for president, I mean, there's been some that think this is what this Reawaken America tour is pushing. Michael Flynn actually as the candidate if Donald Trump decides not to run. And so I think we will see this rhetoric in the presidential primaries in 2024, this, you know, continuing to spin and just make up what really happened. You know, this was not normal tourist visit. This was not legitimate political discourse. This was not something that was righteous and holy, but we're going to hear that from these candidates.
The name of this tour, the Reawakening America tour, harkens back to the Great Awakening, which is something that is very important to the evangelical community. And yet we're looking at people like Michael Flynn and Roger Stone, who would not exactly be called faith leaders by any stretch of the imagination. How are they getting away with that?
It's amazing. I mean, it really is. And I unfortunately, occupational hazard as I'm writing at a public witness is that I have watched some of these events, and it is amazing the heresies that happen, that come out of the mouths of the speakers. Both of those men, particularly Roger Stone, Michael Flynn, just say remarkably crazy things, both about politics and about faith. And it is in many ways, it feels like we are seeing the birth of a new religious movement that's happening. This QAnon and the conspiracy theories and January 6th all wrapped in together, messianic tones engaged in all of this. It's definitely, I think it's still very much a scary time. It's a scary time for our democracy as we have candidates that are courting and playing with these conspiracy theories about January 6th and so much more.
You know, I've been associated with Interfaith Alliance for more than 25 years, and I don't think there's been a year that's gone by that some pundit on the left hasn't proclaimed the death of the Christian coalition or Christian nationalism. And you make reference to this in the most recent edition of Word and Way also. What's going on here, and is there any chance that people are right this time, that there's been a decline in the influence and effectiveness of the Christian coalition in specific and the religious right in general?
Yeah, it is amazing this how often the religious right has died over the last 40 years, and yet it is still with us, because it hasn't actually died. And I get it. Like, we talk about the fact that there are demographic changes. There is a maybe somewhere down the horizon, we can see the decline of its influence and power. But one of the things we wanted to kind of lay down the marker in this piece is that for 2024, that time has not come yet, that the white evangelical base is still a key part of the Republican Party. And the fact that all of these candidates that we've just talked about are already going to churches and conferences and meetings to reach these voters proves that they know that white evangelicals still are critical for who becomes the next Republican nominee. And so, yeah, I do think we are heading to a point, but it's far down the line. And then unfortunately, what we're seeing, though, is that in some aspects of our society, it's way far away. The Supreme Court is the best example. So even if as the demographics shift And maybe white evangelical voters don't have the raw numbers they need for elections. They've already embedded themselves in some anti-democratic, small d, anti-democratic ways that they can continue to push their agenda through Supreme Court rulings and other aspects of our government.
And it's also important to remember that white evangelicals vote in much larger percentages than many other populations. So correct. even if their numbers are declining, their voting patterns are not shifting.
Exactly. They vote in high numbers and they're highly organized in the primaries.
So what causes you the most concern in political terms right now? And how does that overlap or underscore the concerns you have about religious freedom in this country?
Yeah, I am probably most concerned as we are heading into the 2022 midterm elections and the 2024 presidential elections with this. It's not even a fringe or a small sliver, but this dominant perspective in one political party that no longer seems to believe in democracy. That is the mantra. It is the creed that you have to follow or else you will be primaried out of office. I mean, when we're seeing figures like U.S. Representative Cheney, who is as conservative historically as it comes, and she's likely to about lose her primary race merely because she thought January 6th was wrong. Like, that's a danger to our democracy. And we have seen the efforts to roll back voting rights. We're going to see that impact already in 2022. We're seeing elections across the state where people who believe lies about the 2020 presidential election will win significant offices across the country that will put them in place to impact how the 2024 election is carried out, counted, and dealt with. And so that is a concern. We are in a really dangerous space. January 6th was not the end of the problem. It was really just the beginning. And so I'm really concerned about that. And Christian nationalism is fueling that. It is providing justification. It is providing energy. It is getting people mobilized behind the big lie that is continuing to threat our very existence as a democracy.
Brian, thank you for all of that. And though we're going to post some of this information on our website, I want our listeners to hear from you directly on how they can find out more about Word and Way and the work that you're doing.
Yeah, our main website is wordandway.org, but where we particularly write at the intersection of faith, culture, and politics is with our email newsletter, A Public Witness. People can read the pieces we've been talking about and sign up so they get them right in their email box at publicwitness.wordandway.org.
And Word and Way, is that with an ampersand or with the word and?
Well, ampersand when we put it on the magazine, but if you're typing it into your URL, please spell out A-N-D. Yes.
There you go. Important information. Dr. Brian Kaler is the longtime editor-in-chief at Word and Way, a Christian media company based in Missouri, and is associate director of ChurchNet. His important books include Vote Your Principles, Party Must Not Trump Principles, and For God's Sake, Shut Up. His recent analysis, co-authored with Beau Underwood, is headlined the 2024 Evangelical Primary, and we'll link to it from stateofbelief.com. Brian, thank you for being back with us on State of Belief Radio.
Well, thanks, Jack, so much for having me. It was great to talk.
We need to take a quick break, but we're just getting started with this week's show. Up next, author, artist, and activist Adafe Okoro, and later, Interfaith Alliance of North Dakota. You're listening to State of Belief Radio, brought to you by Interfaith Alliance.